Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Willie Donick joins the show from New York. Hello, Willie.
And hello, guys.
How we doing?
I'm doing great. Beautiful day up here.
Love to hear it.
Good.
Love to hear it.
Happy to hear that.
And our second favorite hockey guy behind Willie, Elliot Friedman of the 32 Thoughts Podcast and of Sportsnet, joins us now as well. Elliot, always appreciate you and great to have you back on with us weekly. So, you know, the Preds are sitting at 1-3, and I think they've played well. And at 1-3, you know, it's a young team. But they got that butt whooped against Edmonton on Tuesday night at home. What do you need to see from a young team like this that still wants to compete? How they respond to a loss like that?
Well, I think the one thing, Carolyn, I would say is that I think the next time Edmonton is on the schedule, oh, hang on one second. I just got to put some waivers out. Zach McEwen, Harkins, and Cenac are on waivers today. I just got to...
You heard it here first?
Let me just put that out. I think, discuss amongst yourselves for a second. I need a second here.
Yes, this is what we call multitasking.
Exactly, absolutely.
Yes, yes. Elliot, always on the job there, checking the waiver wire there. And so, guys, I'll tell you tonight, just while Elliot's getting said here, that it looks like Michael McCarron will be in tonight for his Predators debut. They're going to sit Phil Tomasino, maybe just give him a little step back, time to breathe a little bit. He has not been playing at the top of his game. They want to reward McCarron. They feel like he is prepared, was ready to play. They're going to go a little more experienced tonight. Probably a short-term thing. It won't be long, I don't think, before Tomasino gets back in there. And it will be UC Saros to start a fifth straight game. Remember, he got pulled after the first period against Edmonton. And it was Kevin Lankinen that played a pretty solid last two periods there. But they're coming back with juice.
All right. I'm good. I'm sorry about that, guys.
Don't apologize.
Thank you very much. First of all, what I would do is the next time the Predators play Edmonton, I would kidnap Draisaitl before he gets to the ring.
That's a good idea.
That's the number one thing I would do. Or I would put him in either a cab or an Uber and tell the driver, get lost for an hour.
So you're basically pulling the Celtics pride.
That's exactly it. Celtics pride. Get him lost so he can't come to the game. I think, Carolyn, it's a great question. Like, actually, I thought, to be honest, I thought the Predators started that game pretty well. Like, Edmonton didn't start great, and Jack Campbell made a bunch of saves. And the moment Edmonton got going, I thought your guys kind of deflated. And I think, like, that's one thing that you have to – I think you have to teach your young players is there's going to be games where things go wrong for you during the game, and you have to respond – better than that. Like, once that game started going downhill, it really went downhill. You know, you get two intermissions where you can sort of calm yourself down and amp yourself back up. But, you know, I think that's the one thing. I think in your first game after a game like that, you've got to come out and you've got to show something. You're going to get 5 to 10 stinkers a year. 10's probably too many. You're going to get 5 stinkers a year. And the question is, what do you do after them over? They're over. So, you know, in their next game, you're going to be looking at guys like Parson. You're going to be looking at guys like, well, Novak's a bit more. But you're going to be looking at all their young guys or anybody who had a particularly rough night, and you're going to be saying, okay, show me a lot more this evening. I wouldn't panic yet or anything like that, but I absolutely do believe you have – some of the guys who had the rougher nights the other night have to be a lot better in their next game.
And Predator special teams have been a little bit of a concern for me, at least through four games. You know, 0-for-7 on the power play in Boston, and then, of course, you know, not great against Edmonton. The penalty kill has struggled. How much of that is you're just going up against some of the best power plays in the league in Tampa Bay and Boston and Edmonton, and how much of that is maybe your special teams just aren't quite where they need to be?
Well, I think the thing is, like, whenever – first of all, they're not where they need to be, because when you're having the kind of things that are happening to you that's happening in Nashville, you simply can't say, well, we're playing against great teams. You have to be better. And Edmonton's power play last year was the best one since they ever started keeping power play stats. So they can definitely embarrass teams. There's no question about it. But I always look at the power play is basically the way a lot of these meetings work when you're killing penalties, Carolyn, is you look and you say, look, there's certain things we're not going to be able to stop, okay, because we're a man short. But what's the number one thing that we're trying to take away? And you attack that. And maybe if you're lucky, you'll be able to say, what's the number two thing we're going to take away? And you have to hope you can stop that. If it gets down to the third and fourth thing beating you, then there's not much you can really do. That's a situation where you kind of have to say, our goalie's got to be our best penalty killer. So I think the question I always ask when a team's having a really bad penalty kill, I always say, what's the number one thing you're trying to take away? Are you doing it? If yes, then there's some bad luck involved. But if the answer is no, you're not, then that's your problem. Then you have an issue there that you really have to fix if you're not stopping the number one or number two things you're trying to do.
Now, Elliot, Coach Brunette said at the beginning of the season they wanted to play more of an up-paced tempo. You see some of that, early on in this season. But also you see them giving up, over three goals per game. What's the best way to try to play that type of game, but also be defensive minded? Because they've given up way too many goals in their losses. Some of it can be contributed to, taking bad penalties or whatnot. Yep. But if they're going to play this high tempo game, which they're capable of playing, they also have to be capable of getting back and playing defense.
Yes. Well, Derek, I think there's a couple of things there. I think number one, you have to play a high tempo game in this league now. Mm-hmm. But number two, you have to have the personnel that can do it. Like Ryan O'Reilly is one of the smartest players in the NHL, but he's one of the challenges with him is that you've got to play like a smarter positional game when he's on the ice, because he's not, it's not like he's slow or anything. But you can't play the fastest game when he's out there. So I think that some of the things I've kind of seen a little bit is, yes, Brunette's asking him to do some new things, and I think maybe they're still trying to figure them out. But also the other thing is, if you have players on the ice who aren't necessarily the fastest guys or rely more on their brains than their speed, does everybody know what they're supposed to do when something breaks down? Like, the biggest thing, as you know, is effort. Mm-hmm. Like, if you are turning the puck over, are guys coming back hard? That's a big thing. But the other thing is, when things break down or things don't go right, is everybody doing their best to get into the position that they need to be in?
And Andrew Brunette did say that he does like the effort. He likes mm-hmm. the buy-in, still working on ironing out a lot of these details. We're talking to Elliot Friedman, and Elliot, it's interesting, coming up here, we're talking about this power play. It doesn't get any easier when you're facing Fox, Panarin, Zibanejad, Kreider, and Trocheck. I mean, so it's another elite unit here. So it is murderer's row at the beginning of the year.
Well, Willie, when you play every team you play against now, like the power plays are 2 minutes, they're going to throw out a first unit that's going to play for a minute and a half, and those players are going to be really good. Like, they're not going to be Edmonton good. Nobody's like that. But you're going to have some teams like New York that are close. And like I said, you have to have a plan. Remember, one of the best penalty killers I ever dealt with, he said to me, what's the key to a great penalty kill? Number one, know what you're not going to let them do. Like, there's one thing, everything you say, I don't care what you guys do, you're not going to beat us with that play. And let's just say it's Panarin's shot. They say, you're not beating us with Panarin's shot. Then he says, what's the number two thing we're not going to let them do? And then he says, we're going to take that away from you too. And then the third thing is, you better hope your goalie can make saves. Because if they're getting to the third best thing they do, then you're running around and you're in trouble. So your goalie better make the save. So I have no doubt that's what Brunette is telling his players.
Elliot, tonight you see a Peter Laviolette coach team. It was interesting. Andrew Brunette goes way back, and he says, I've played against them and coached against them for about the last 20 years. And he says his teams all do the same thing. He has the same system. He's not going to surprise you. He's got a set way he wants to play. And you know this, he seems to always make a really good first impression when he comes in. And nobody knows that better than the Nashville fans, because he came in right away. They weren't expected to be very good, and they ended up having home ice advantage in the first playoff series against the Blackhawks, who beat them and then went on to win the whole thing. So why do you think he is so good at that when he arrives at a new place?
Well, you guys dealt with Laviolette a lot, right? And I'll tell you this. He was, when I really started, he was a difficult guy for me to figure out. And that's because, the expression on his face that like almost never changes, right? And I think he's got a real presence. I think he knows how to keep, like when he walks into a room for the first time, a lot of people are like, I don't know if I can figure this guy out. Because he's got a good poker face. He demands a lot out of you. He doesn't like it when people get pushed around, and he's got a certain way he wants you to play, and he's not going to bend for that. And I think when a lot of new coaches come in, it's because it hasn't worked under the other coach. So the new coach comes in, the players want to buy in because they say it didn't work under that guy, so we want to see what this guy can do for us. And look, like they've seen the success. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's gone to two other Stanley Cup finals. So they say, okay, this is a guy who knows what he likes. Now, I think in Peter's case, because he doesn't really like to bend from his philosophy, after a few years, it can start going a little sideways a bit. But I think when he walks in, he has command of the room. He definitely gets respect. He's got a presence, and he knows the way he wants people to play. And I think the best athletes, and Derek, you can tell me if I'm totally wrong about this, I think they want to be coached. I think they want someone to tell them, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to get to win, and have a plan. And I think Laviolette has one, and he believes in it in the short term. I think that's very important for players.
How is the Bedard circus? We talked to you last Thursday, and he was about to come up to Montreal and Toronto. So how did that go? How was he received?
You know what? Very well. I have to say that I think the kid deserves a lot of credit. His teammates started to speak out about some of the things he was being asked to do on the weekend. And so they backed him down a little bit on Monday in Toronto. But our producers, we produced two of the games, the game in Montreal and the game in Toronto. And our producers and our on-air people and staff, they said he was a pleasure to deal with. No complaints, really accommodating. With a smile. I think what that guy was asked to do in the first week of his career, I don't know if anybody's been asked to do that in hockey. I don't even know if Crosby or Ovechkin were asked to do that. And he did it. And he did it without complaint. And I give that kid a lot of credit. You know, I'm a little worried for him. The team isn't very good. It's very hard for them to score. So, you know, I think, basically he's already the guy that other teams are diagramming to stop, right? So he's getting a lot of attention, but nothing that guy did in the first week did not impress me. And I have to say, I think he did a lot of really good things for the sport. I think he showed he was a very unselfish guy.
Last one for me up here, then I'll pass it to my colleagues back in Nashville here. You told us last week about Vancouver shopping around Connor Garland and that Nashville might have been one of the interested teams. And as it moved forward here, it became clear Dante Fabbro, and it makes sense. You know, he's from Vancouver, was maybe involved in the talks. But Luke Schenn now out 4 to 6 weeks. What do you think that does to the situation there?
I think that kind of ends it for now. I mean, I always worry about those kinds of proclamations, Willie, because I'll hang up the phone, you'll hear Garland for Fabbro, and I'll look like a total idiot. But I'm under the impression that it it cooled it down for now. Like, the Predators want to compete. They need Favreau right now with Shen out. And I had some people who told me that they weren't sure that after looking into it, Nashville was as in on Garland as initially thought. So I think we have to let this play out for a little bit. We'll see where it goes. But when it came to the Predators and Garland, the kind of hints that were kind of sent my way were dial it back a bit. By the way, Willie, I got to say, I admire your work ethic. If I was in New York this afternoon, I'd be walking around the city, taking in the air. I would be playing hooky from the radio station. Your work ethic is much better than mine. Much better.
If the suit is listening down the hallway, just take note of that, Chase, okay? The work ethic is here.
Yeah, it's definitely there.
And we appreciate it, Willie.
We did get our fill. We did get our fill last night, too. That's for sure. That was fun.
Okay,
we did hit the town.
Okay, good. I'm glad that happened. I'm happy to hear that.
We appreciate you, Willie, not going window shopping or getting a bagel in New York.
Elliot, walking around Central Park.
Right,
you know.
Exactly. Just pondering life a bit, what looks like a beautiful day in New York City. Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, there was some rumblings about a potential decentralized draft, which for our listeners that don't understand what that means, it would be more like the NFL and the NBA, where general managers and representatives from the team are in their respective war rooms and not all together in one room in one area in the same city in the draft. What are your thoughts on that? And as somebody who is always at the draft, who probably gets to speak with general managers one-on-one at the draft, what is the impact for you and for fans?
Well, I have to tell you, last week after last year, Carolyn, after I spent 5 days in Nashville, my liver would be okay with not having that happen again. I have to say about that. But like, just as a human being and someone who covers hockey, Carolyn, I'm not in favor of it. Like, I really love it. I love the fact that everyone is together. I love the fact that all the teams are there. It's like, I'm in the studio now more, so I don't travel as much. And I miss, like, I think FaceTime in this business is very important. You know, you've got to get out and see people and talk to people. And I don't get as much as I used to. So I really love the draft, and I would hate to see a change for that reason. I think the two reasons it's really coming up is last year the draft was on June 28th and 29th. And this year it's on June 28th and 29th again, and free agency is July 1st. And I think the teams feel that's not realistic, particularly if you're flying a long way from Nashville last year or from Vegas, where the draft is supposed to be this year. I think some of the teams are saying, we don't like that. I think the other thing is always is cost. You know, these teams, they fly in a lot of people. You know, the hotel rates get jacked up. And I think some people are looking at that. Now, I do think there are some teams. I heard last week it was going to happen for sure. And then this week when they sent the memo out, someone told me that some of the teams were kind of backing away and thinking, GMs say, you know, you can meet with an agent. If you have a player or some business that needs to get done, like they say, there is value in everyone being there. So, I hesitate to put a handicap on it, but those are the reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think they're supposed to have their responses in by next week. And you know what, if they change it, Carolyn, one thing I've been thinking is last year during the Vegas Summer League, the NBA had an NBA convention for 3 days in July. And it was everything from like panels on basketball or how to get into the business, or they had merchandise shows. Like, I hope they turn it into something like that, like a big hockey fan convention, and make it some kind of other event, because I did hear from a lot of fans who say they love going to the draft and just being around the energy of it. So I hope if we change it, we find some other way to make it fun or exciting.
Yeah, I'm with you. My first NHL draft opportunity was this past year in Nashville, and just the energy in the city, the excitement of it all, the fact that all of the hockey world is centrally located in one place, I think that's unique and it's special. But last one from me, Elliot. We heard the NHL banned Pride tape on sticks pregame, but there had been some talks between the NHL and the NHLPA to give players other opportunities to endorse causes, organizations that they're passionate about. What's the latest that you've heard on that?
Well, first of all, I think one of the weird things about that dry tape situation, Caroline, is I think in a lot of ways it's probably unenforceable.
Yeah.
Because there is a rule in the rule book that players can put whatever kind of tape they want on there. I do know that over the last week, they've been working on a solution. And I don't know if this is going to be it, but I do know that one of the things that's been talked about, Carolyn, is like a night, like in the NFL, they have my cleats, my cause.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done, this is going to be the eighth year. And I think it's tremendous. And I love the videos the players do on social of them unboxing their cleats. And I think one thing they've talked about is maybe having a night or two during the year where players can do that with their jerseys or their equipment in the warm-up. And I don't know where that's going to go, but I do think it's something they're talking about, and I think that is a solution. Because you know what this also does? It takes out things like the Hockey Fights Cancer pregame jerseys, and those should be in circulation too. There has to be a solution for all this.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and a Sportsnet. Elliot, you are the absolute best. We'll chat with you next Thursday.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great weekend. Take
awesome.
Care.
You too. Appreciate it. All right, Elliot Friedman, he is the absolute best. Appreciate him for joining us. Coming up next, we'll get a little bit of a Predators-Rangers preview. Plus, our very own Joe Rexroad sat down with Barry Trotz. A little Q&A, what we learned, what we took away from what Barry Trotz had to say with Joe Rexroad. That coming up here. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.